Welcome back to another episode of Pineapples and French Fries. I'm your host, Solomon Dudley. Side note, this is not a podcast about food, but life. We talk about challenges, obstacles, and the things that make life really, really cool. So stay tuned for today's episode. Talk to y'all soon. Hey y'all, welcome back to the show. Today's episode, I have the privilege of talking to Raimondo Kelly. He is a model and this all-around great guy, and he happens to be my cousin. So I'm excited for what we talked about during the episode of just what it takes to be successful, but also the highs and lows and how it is representing some really cool brands. So I'll talk to you guys soon, and let's get into the episode. Welcome back to another episode of Pineapples and French Fries. My name is Solomon, of course. Today I have a good friend, but actually he's a cousin. I don't know if you will recognize him. Of course, this is audio, so you probably won't. But his name is Raimondo Kelly. Raimondo, introduce yourself to our friends. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. Cousin Solomon, man. Hey,
little cousin.
I love everything that you're doing, man. For real. Like, not only are you stepping outside of the box, or better yet, just your comfort zone with this medium, this form of medium. So, yeah, really, really appreciate this outlet. Again, my name is Raimondo Kelly. I'm a model, actor from Detroit, living in New York now. Went to HBCU, Fort Valley State University, the Fort Valley State University. My alma mater is near and dear to my heart. And family has always been the focal point of this journey. So, yeah, I've been modeling and acting for, let's say, almost 20 years now.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, almost 20 years now. Wow. And... yeah, it's been a career. Yeah, it's been a for real serious career that has given me so much more than I thought it would have ever given. So, yeah.
Lots to unpack. Let's go back to day one of your modeling and acting, if you remember that at all. What did you think... What was the goal? What was the future? What did you have in mind at that start of the 20 years? Because that's a long time ago.
Thanks.
Is there anything that you had planned? Like, if was this long term? Was it short term? What was the goal? And then, of course, we can talk about how you got here. But like, what was the goal initially 20 years ago?
To be honest, it was really just to try. I started out in church modeling. I don't know if anybody's really familiar with church modeling nowadays. Like, church modeling is the runway fashion show event that would happen at the church for whatever reason, whether it was a Mother's Day event, whether it was a Father's Day event, something happening at the church. They always found a way to implement a fashion show into the event space. But the response that I would get when I would be on stage in the clothes, man, it was always different. It was always different from everybody else's. And I had always just, you know, I thought it was normal because I really wasn't paying attention to the response, but everybody else was. So I was a teacher in Atlanta after college, sixth grade language arts, subject, verb, predicate, agreement. And right.
Oh, wow.
Right. So, but being in the classroom, I kind of realized like, man, a lot of my students, they didn't have anybody to look up to And the majority of the people that they looked up to, they were always on TV. They didn't have a relationship with them. Like, mm-hmm. for the most part, they would always say people that were in sports, again, they would see them on TV. And it just made me realize, like, wow, nobody, they don't have anybody that they could actually see every day. Somebody that they could actually look at and be like, yo, he's normal.
Yeah.
Right. And one day after a church fashion show, dude was like, man, you should go to New York and be a model. So you should really go and try. And I had never gone to New York before. But I didn't have any family out here either. But it was a blessing because teachers get paid during the summer. And I knew that it cost a lot of money to be in New York. But I had the luxury of being an educator. And I knew that I would have money coming in for the entire summer. So I used that fuel from that stylist, from that fashion show, to go and try to be a model in New York. And man, almost 20 years later, I'm still here.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I cling on to that representation piece so much, because honestly, it's like you have two parts of your life that you're almost not necessarily competing with, but they both need you. However, you recognized at some point you can probably only do one. I think that's so cool that you had to take that leap of faith and go into something that was unfamiliar, uncertain, even to a new state. That's crazy.
Yeah, nah. Well, being an educator, I realized the influence that I have on my students. Yo, they needed to be inspired. Mm-hmm. I knew that my classroom that was made up of Black and brown young boys and young girls, their immediate inspiration came directly from whatever was happening on television at that time. And the whatever specific incident that was happening on television that they saw, for whatever reason, it fueled them for the rest of the week, the day, the month. And I realized, like, man, there should be a lot more positivity. And I felt like me going to New York, having the experience, positive or bad, like positive or negative, it's something that they could say, hey, he did that. He tried. And man, I just think trying is more important than failing. A lot of people kind of don't realize, like, man, a lot of the times within whatever it is that you're doing, it's the journey. Mm-hmm. It's legitimately the journey. The end goal, once you actually get to the end goal, once you actually reach it, you care more about the things that you had to go through in order to get there. So, yeah.
Yeah, so that's good that you recognized about representation and just the fact that everyone needs someone to look up to, but also to see themselves in. Even that's applicable today, 20 years later. Like,
facts.
I look at people, not just in media, but like people in normal life, daily life, that I'm like, okay, you know what? They may look like me, they may not look like me, or they may look like me. And I'm like, if they did not look like me, how would I resonate with them? It's very, very, very good. I like that. I like that.
Relatability. Mm-hmm. I've always said that. Even in grad school, I think that was one of my focuses on my thesis. Just the value of being relatable. Relatability is one of the few things that can cross over gender, race, and whatever differences two people can have. Like if you can identify with whatever struggle that individual is dealing with, like if you can literally identify it and say, hey, I've been there, that right there can create a level of peace and friendship that not many other things can create instantly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Love that. So that was 20 years ago. Now we're in 2023.
Yeah, yeah.
Modeling. What has been, did you expect? Now, I know this isn't what you had imagined initially, but is what you're doing now at all what you imagined, what you thought modeling was or could be? And we can talk about the brands that you've worked with because it's a long list, but is this what you expected modeling to be? And what has been some takeaways that you've learned for that?
Let's say almost 20 years ago when I first moved out here, Solomon, the thing to have were tear sheets. Tear sheets made you solidify your place in modeling, in the modeling world. Okay. Do you know what the tear sheets are?
I don't.
Okay, cool. Well, the tear sheets are the images that you took out of a magazine that has you in. Right. Tear sheets. Whenever you see the advertisements now, tear sheets no longer exist because of social media, because of,
digital.
Digital, like the digital game, the digital game destroyed tear sheets single-handedly. Mm-hmm. Like walking around New York, everybody had their portfolio, and in their portfolio, they would have tear sheets.
Tear sheets,
Essence magazines, from the Vogue magazines, from whatever, whatever magazine that you worked with, whatever brand you work with, whatever company that you work with, they would pay for advertisement in that magazine. So at the beginning of every month or the end of a month, when a new issue was coming out of a magazine, all the models would flood the newsstands, the bookstores. You would flood those little newsstands all over the city to try to get your magazines that had the tear sheets in them. And of course, you would speak to your agent. Your agent would tell you, hey, today is the issue when the issue's coming out. Like, so again, it was just a huge deal. But now you have to wait for friends and family to say, hey, I just saw you.
I just saw you on TV.
Like, that's really how it happens now. That's legitimately how it happens. Like, I'm never the first one to see any of my work now. It's always somebody else. And so it's still a rewarding feeling, but it's just different.
So there have been a few times we've seen you around the world. One six out. So we were actually driving to New York. And I think this is this was the New York trip that we saw you.
Yes.
I think we were probably in New Jersey or somewhere, and we were in a Walmart in the men's section. And I'm like, I know him. And I'm like, mom said, yeah, that's your cousin. I'm like, that's right. That's Raimondo. And then we took a picture, and then I don't know if we sent it or not, but that was one time. So that was yes. just, that was the Just for Men. And if you, y'all are unfamiliar with that, it's yes. It's like the hair care for men, and it says Just for Men at the top, and then it has a face, and it had Raimondo's face on yes. it. And even still to this day, I'm like, I still go to CVS and I'm like, is Raimondo here? And I'm like, no.
Right.
And
I
cry a little bit because I'm like, oh, that's no problem. But that's one of the coolest times. And then I'm missing stores with friends and I'm like, oh, that's my cousin. I'm like, no, that's not. I'm like, yeah, that's my cousin.
Absolutely.
That's my cousin. That's my cousin. Another experience, I forgot which brand it was, but you were in the commercial and you were on, it was TV.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah. That's Raimondo.
Right. Yeah. From the Kohl's, from the mattress firms, uh-huh. from the, yeah, like you said, the Tempur-Pedic. It's been a bunch of them, from the Nike ad with Dick's Sporting Goods. A bunch of casino jobs. Yeah. It's crazy because after 20 years, you just realize, like, man, it's been a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a lot of work to be here to the point where you actually forget the amount of brands or clients or just being a pitch man for these leading brands. Like, a lot of people don't realize, like, man, there are a lot of people that these agents and clients and just marketers, they mm-hmm. actually try to pick the best talent to represent whatever brand it is that they're working with. So to know that over the years, I mean, I've just been able to accumulate not only that kind of attention, but that respect in the industry. Not only does it make me feel good, but it's just humbling because there's so many other worthy individuals who
mm-hmm.
try and work really, really hard. So it's something that I do not take for granted. I've mm-hmm. never been one to, one of the reasons that I never wanted to make a list of all the brands was because it will kind of make me take inventory on the ones that I didn't get. You feel me?
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because even though I landed a lot, there were a ton that I didn't get. And for me, I want every audition that I go out for, every one, you know? So thinking about the ones that I got, man, it forces me to think about the ones that I did, but it's all good.
That's a really interesting balance that you say, that it's like, it's almost like you can take that in a few different directions where you look at the list and you're like, I'm humbled, I'm proud, a lot of gratitude. And then you look at the things that you didn't get and you ask yourself, was I good enough? And then you look at the brands that you did get and you're like, well, comparable, I technically was, I just didn't mm-hmm. get that one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure over the course of 20 years, I mean, that's a long and luxurious career. You've had your doubts, and has that part of being, of wanting to be a representative for someone else or someone to look up to you, has that part played a role in keeping you going, like as motivation, or was there something else that that served as the thing that kept you going?
For me, that's a really good question. For me, just the way that we grew up in Detroit, family has always been the fuel that I needed to continue. Their belief in me, my belief in God, knowing that their prayers, yeah, are honest and earnest and faithful prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I couldn't quit or even allow doubt to creep in my head. Like, as long as I had the desire and as long as I have the desire and passion to continue doing it, like I said, one of the main reasons that I even started doing this was because, like, I really just wanted to make my family proud. Like, yeah, just growing up, whenever somebody would mention somebody's name, especially a Black man in the family, rarely was that name spoke with reverence. Rarely was that name spoke with joy and just admiration. Like, that's very, very rare in not only our community, but specifically our family.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I wanted to be that. I wanted to do that. I wanted my family to know that when they said my name, that in unison, everybody would either put a smile, they would put a smile on their face, or yeah, they would just be honored to say it. They would be happy to say it because not only am I living my dream, but I'm somebody that they can say they're proud of, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I love that. What have been some challenges, even like, it doesn't have to be necessarily over the whole 20 years, but as the industry itself has changed, which it has drastically, what challenges have you had to endure and just like push through as these changes have, not necessarily like become stronger, but more so like you knowing that this is where you need to be, therefore you have to push through A, B, and C in order to keep this goal alive, through the challenges or whatever challenges that you've seen or faced. If you just want to talk a little bit about that, have you had to push through?
Making sure that I had the right people around me. Mm-hmm. When I first started on this journey, because I knew that I couldn't do it by myself, I asked God to, I really made a covenant with God to put the right people in my life because I didn't have the time or energy to decipher between the good and the bad. I didn't have that energy.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yo, the people who are meant to be in my life, allow them to stay. And the people who aren't, allow them to leave. Mm-hmm. I said, because I just really wanted to put my focus and energy into the industry. And with most people, in whatever specific industry that they're in, oftentimes people can be their downfall or the thing that lifts them up and keeps them, yeah, productive. So, I knew off top, especially coming to a place like New York, where there's a good, again, it's a melting pot. New York is one of the few places. Yeah, New York is literally one of the few places in the world where you can be on the train sitting next to a millionaire. Mm-hmm. And a homeless man, y'all will literally both be on the same train going to the same place. Like
on the same seat.
That's just kind of what it is. Mm-hmm. On the same seat. Like,
yeah.
you won't experience something like that in any other place. Like, you're literally on the train with a millionaire and a homeless man sitting on that same seat. And y'all got to get to where y'all going. Yeah. So, I just knew coming to a place like here, I needed God. I needed God in ways that I never thought that I would have needed. Yeah.
I love that. So if you and 7-year-old Raimondo were in a room, so this is setting the scene. You guys are having a conversation, drinking a little coffee, a little tea, whatever 7-year-old Raimondo loved drinking at 7 years old. What do you think 7-year-old Raimondo would say to you today? And then what would you say to 7-year-old Raimondo today?
7-year-old Raimondo would say to me today, I'm so proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
He would say, I'm so, so proud of you. Thank you for stepping out on faith. Yeah, running towards the fear. Yeah, accepting the applause when they came and listening to the silence when it was at its loudest. Yeah. Not avoiding the things that made me uncomfortable is probably the one thing that allows me to flourish in this career. So 7-year-old me would definitely say thank you for, you know, making those decisions. Yeah. Despite what the outcome would be.
Mm-hmm.
I would tell 7-year-old Raimondo, love on your family. Love on your family. Because in the real world, the older you get, the more time that you spend in the world, you realize that having someone talk to you, give you advice, taking an opportunity to hear you, those individuals have your best interests in mind at all times. The advice that they're giving you, it's solely to benefit you. Whether you like it or not, your family, the ones that really, really care, like that advice you get from them, know that it's you. You don't have to worry if it's coming from a place that's rooted in an ulterior motive. No. These people who look like you, smell like you, like they really, really care about your success or your failure. Like the people who you mourn with, who feel the loss the same way that you feel a loss, is something to be said about the value that you place on those individuals. And I understand that friendship, when people say blood is thicker than water, and it's the time that you spend with somebody that determines the value of the relationship and so on and so forth, I get all that. Mm-hmm. But 7-year-old Raimondo needs to go into a space of understanding that those people who look like you, smell like you, there are moments in your life where the conversation that you guys are having and the information that they're giving you is coming from a place of authentic, genuine love. And that's what I would tell 7-year-old Raimondo.
Love that. Amen. As we kind of land the plane here, is there a quote that has gotten you through tough times, or something that like a mantra or of some sort, that if you forget everything else throughout your day, that's one thing that you use even in your low points that gets you through the tough audition, the tough day, the no, the yes, the maybe, but we'll get back to you. Is there anything that you think that has gotten you through any of these times?
It's a couple of them. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Yeah, it's a marathon, not a sprint. I lean heavy on the scripture, Romans 8:28. That's I've been meditating on that one for years. But I believe in myself, and I know that one role, one job can change the trajectory of your entire life, your family's life. I know that. I've seen it happen. And again, I've never been in it for the money or the fame and so on and so forth. Man, I promise, I just want my family to be proud to say my name.
Love that. Love that. What advice would you give to someone who is in the midst of starting something new, whether it be a new job, new career, a new passion, a new business, new venture, and any word of advice for them?
Do your due diligence. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do your due diligence. Don't get too caught up on time and what the time frame looks like. Like, if it's meant for you, when the opportunity presents itself, it'll be yours. You'll be ready. You'll seize that moment. But above and beyond all of that, you have to do your due diligence in whatever specific field, craft, whatever it is that you're pursuing. Like, really, do your due diligence, because everybody's a respecter of knowledge. Mm-hmm. Everybody's a respecter of knowledge. An individual who's well-read, an individual who's knowledgeable about whatever specific thing that, you're pursuing. Yeah, if nothing else, the people that you meet, they'll have a level of respect for you immediately, because people know the amount of work that it takes to sit down and do the due diligence. Mm-hmm. Whenever I'm doing a speaking engagement, one of the things that I've always tried to explain to people, and maybe it's the teacher in me, but it's always been, perfect attendance correlates better in the real world than A's and B's ever will. Mm-hmm. Perfect attendance. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that people miss that, because in society today, people need to know that you're going to not only be there, you're going to come to work, but you're going to be present. So again, perfect attendance correlates better in the real world than A's and B's ever will.
One thing I'll say is, so one of my favorite ideas is that the Egyptian pyramids weren't built in a day. However, they were laying bricks each day. I guess you can also relate that to Rome wasn't built in a day, but they were laying the bricks for the Colosseum each day.
Thanks.
You are the epitome of that. Showing up, consistency. Whenever I'm on Instagram, you're doing something. And if you aren't doing a job, you're in the gym, you're playing basketball, you're doing something else. I'm like, oh, okay. Romano, he's doing what he got to do. He's staying busy. He's living the New York vision and the dream and the, and it's almost like, yes, you hustle, but also it's like when you're doing something that you love, the hustle doesn't even feel like hustle. It's just, it's you're just doing what you do and the rest figures itself out.
Facts.
Mm-hmm.
Spot on.
Love that. Well, this has been fun. I am so excited for like what else is to come for you.
Yeah, man.
It's literally just like, okay, what's next? What's next? And honestly, it's like, that's the best way to keep moving forward. It's like, okay, we did this thing. Now what's next? And as artists, creatives, it's easy to fall into the trap of looking at the failure of something. And then we realize, okay, the failure actually brought me to the next thing, and then which brought me to the next thing. And then we realize that that next thing is the thing that can change lives. And like, it's big. So I value what you are doing and what your vision is and how you have executed the vision. Because the vision looks different for everyone, but you honestly are like, you know what? I'm going to do me. I'm going to be in my Nike stuff. I'm going to be in Kohl's. And I'm going to inspire those that can use some inspiration. And you know what? That's what you're doing.
Thanks.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
That's man. What you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you.
So where can our friends find you? I know you're on Instagram. You probably have some projects coming out that you probably can't talk about, which is okay.
The Instagram is Raimando_RUMANDO_. A TV show that I'm on right now. It's on the All Black Network, Make Up to Break Up. We just finished the second season. We got renewed and it's on All Black TV, All Black Network. And we just got the green light for the ABFF this year. So that's happening this summer in Miami. Really excited about that. Festivals are always dope. So especially in Miami. So that's gonna be great.
Love that, love that. Well, thank you, cousin, Big Cuz, for coming on today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Keep doing you.
For sure. Keep doing you. Thank you. Thank you. I love you, man. Be good, man. For real. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, friends, I will talk to y'all in a bit. As always, thanks for listening. Bye-bye. Hey all, thanks for listening to the episode today. I enjoyed having this conversation with Raimando, just specifically talking about gratitude and staying humble, even when things are going really, really well. I think that's something that we can keep in mind as we go forward, just in life and in our own individual journeys and experiences. So yeah, if you enjoy this episode, don't forget to share it. If you would love to do that, I would be so glad and grateful. But until next time, pineapples and french fries. I'll talk to y'all soon. Bye bye.